Welcome to Torah Timecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Stacey Nechama Goldman, and today we will be studying Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Chaf Hei, Chapter 25. This chapter describes the division of the Levi'im, who were singers, into 24 lots and lists their names and families. Radak explains that the other Levi'im would be gatekeepers and treasurers over the treasury of the Beit HaMikdash. We learn from the first verse that all 24 lots of the singers came from one of three Levi'im, Asaph, Heman, and Yedutun. Ve'yavdel David v'sarei ha'tzava la'avodah livnei Asaph v'Heman v'Yedutun hanib'im b'chinorot b'nvalim u'v'mtziltayim v'hi misparam amshei melacha la'avodatam. Then David and the generals of the army separated for the service of the sons of Asaph, Heman, and Yedutun, who prophesied with harps, with lyres, and with cymbals, and the number of those men expert in their work according to their service was. Rashi on this verse explains how music would inspire prophecy. He says, Heman and Yedutun who prophesied. When they would play these musical instruments, they would prophesy. A similar incident is told of Elisha in Kings 2, chapter 3, verse 15. And now fetch me a musician. And when the musician played, the hand of the Lord came upon him. Radak elaborates on this and says these three were all prophets and divine inspiration would rest on them when they played their instruments, as we know that all of the book of Psalms was written with divine inspiration, and it includes prophecies of future exiles and redemptions. The Talmud in Bava Batra lists 10 different authors of the book of Psalms, Adam HaRishon, Malki Tzedek, Avraham, Moshe, Heman, Yedutun, Asaph, and the three sons of Korach. Of the three mentioned in our chapter, Asaph, Heman, and Yedutun, only Asaph has chapters of Tehillim explicitly attributed to him. Shir HaShirim Rabbah explains that since he was a Ben Torah, he merited to say Tehillim both with his brothers and by himself. One of those chapters is 79, which begins Mizmor LeAsaph, a song of Asaph. Since it gruesomely describes the destruction of the temple, the Midrash in Eicha Rabbah asks, Hashem destroyed the temple and you sit and sing? He replied to them, I sing because Hashem poured out his wrath on wood and stones, and he did not pour out his wrath on Israel. Verse 3 lists the sons of Yedutun. Lidutun b'nei Yedutun Gedalyahu Utsri Vishayahu Chashavyahu Umatityahu Shisha al Yede Avihem Yedutun Bekinor Haniba al Hodot Behalel Ladonai. Av Yedutun, the sons of Yedutun, Gedalia and Zeri and Isaiah, Hashavaya and Matitya, 6. Beside their father Yedutun with the harp, who prophesied with songs of thanksgiving and praise to the Lord. If you were paying attention, the verse lists only 5 sons, and yet it says there are 6. Rashi explains, in Matityahu 6, but you will find only 5. The answer is that his wife was pregnant with Shimei, and he saw through the Holy Spirit that he too was destined to be the chief of a watch. Therefore, he says 6, and that is what is stated further in verse 17, the 10th Shimei. This is what the liturgical poet set down in the Kedusha of Yotzer of Parshat Shekalim, inscribed from the womb to be counted in the watch of the sanctuary. Bereshit Rabbah quotes our verse when explaining the numbers of those who went down to Egypt in Bereshit chapter 46, which claims 70 souls left the land of Canaan, yet only 69 names are listed. The Midrash explains that the 70th person is Yocheved, who at that time was still in her mother's womb. Together with our verse, we learn that this is a characteristic of the tribe of Levi, that people are counted already from the womb. Verse 5 tells us some more information about Heman. Kol Ela Vanim Leheman Chozel Hamelech B'divrei Ha'Elokim Leharim Karen V'yitein Ha'Elokim Leheman Banim Arba Asar Uvanot Shalosh. All these were sons of Heman, the king seer, in words of Hashem to raise the horn, and Hashem gave Heman 14 sons and 3 daughters. Rashi explains 2 different aspects of this verse. First, what does it mean to raise the horn? He says, the king's seer, in words of God, to raise the horn of the prophecy, for he would prophesy for the king. A similar instance of this is in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 10, and raise the horn of his anointed one. The second question he addresses is why his progeny are attributed to Hashem as opposed to the other genealogies listed. And God gave Haman. Had not God given him children, it would have been impossible for him to have 14 sons and 3 daughters, with all of them fit to be chiefs of watches. A similar case is in Ruth chapter 4, verse 13, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Had not this been a gift from the Lord, it would have been impossible for Boaz to father a son because he was old. Similarly, in Deuteronomy 34, verse 1, and the Lord showed him all the land. Had this vision not been from the Lord, it would have been impossible to see so far. Bamidbar Rabbah relates this verse to the story of Korach from Bamidbar chapter 16. In verse 5, Moshe tells Korach how Hashem will show who is correct in Korach's complaint against him. He spoke to Korach and to all his company, saying, "In the morning the Lord will make known who is his and who is holy, and he will draw them near to him. And the one he chooses, he will draw near to him." How could Korach have interpreted "the one he chooses" to be himself over Aaron? Rashi, quoting Bamidbar Rabbah, explains, "But what did Korach, who was astute, see to commit this folly? His vision deceived him. He saw prophetically a chain of great people descended from him. Shmuel, who is equal in importance to Moshe and Aaron, he, Korach, said, 'For his sake I will be spared.' He also saw 24 watches of Levites emanating from his grandsons, all prophesying through the Holy Spirit. As it says, 'All these were the sons of Haman,' 1 Chronicles 25:5. He said, 'Is it possible that all this greatness is destined to emanate from me, and I should remain silent?' Therefore, he participated in the rebellion to reach that prerogative, for he had heard from Moshe that they would all perish and one would escape death. The one whom the Lord chooses, he is the Holy One. He erred in thinking that it referred to him. He, however, did not see properly, for his sons repented and thus did not die at that time. Moshe, however, foresaw this." Midrash Shmuel attributes Haman's fecundity to the prayer of his ancestor Hannah. She was the first person to refer to Hashem as Hashem Tzvakot, the Lord of Hosts. Hashem said, "Since you increased my greatness, I will increase yours." Verse 8 describes the casting of the lots. "Vayapilu goralot mishmeret leumat kekaton kegadol mibein im tamid, mevin im tamid." They cast lots, a watch against a watch, like the small one, so the great one, scholar with pupil. Rashi describes how this verse alludes to the equality created among the Levi'im through these lots. Like the small one, so the great one, scholar with pupil. The meaning is that they cast lots for the watches, this one against that one, a watch against a watch. The small one was like the great one, the expert master with the pupil. All of them were equal in this. For the one on whom the first lot fell, if to the small one, he would come first to be the first one, and if last, he would be the last one. And so all of them, whether a scholar or a pupil, whether a small person or a great one, and these watches of the Levites followed the watches of the priests. The one to whom the first lot fell had the first lot, and his watch was with the watch of Jehoiarib, the priest. And the one to whom the second lot fell waited, and his watch was with the watch of Yedaiah, the priest. The remainder of the chapter is a list of the 24 Levi'im in the order of their lots. Thank you for studying together. Li'ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef.